As was mentioned in the last session on Isaac, Jacob was a quiet man, while Esau was definitely a man of the outdoors. I believe I used the word gruff to describe him. Jacob, being the more quiet man, was loved by his mother. Certainly not to say she didn't love her other son Esau, but Jacob found more favor with her, while Isaac favored Esau because he loved the wild game that Esau would go out and hunt and bring in. And again, as we mentioned before, that it appears Esau was not someone who thought things through very well. He sort of did things based upon impulse. He gave away his birthright for a single bowl of stew when he came in after a hunt, famished. Later, we see that Rebekah, their mother, actually told Jacob to disguise himself as Esau and go get the blessing that was to be given to Esau, who was the firstborn. Now, I always wondered about that. Why in the world would the mother do something like that? Well, if you remember, we talked about how the twins jostled in her womb so much so, so forcefully, that she inquired of the Lord. And he told her that the older would serve the younger, that the younger was the one that he had chosen. So, as we read later, as the boys are older and it's time for Isaac, who was old, to give the final blessings, he still went with tradition, which was he was going to bless Esau, the older, the one that he favored. Yet Rebekah, remembering, I believe, the prophecy from the Lord, wanted Jacob to receive the blessing. He was the chosen. So I believe that's a lot of the reason behind the motivation for her to have Jacob disguise himself as Esau to receive the blessing. I believe she believed wholeheartedly what the Lord had told her. Isaac, certainly not saying he was a bad man in any way, certainly not saying he was an evil man or sinful man or a man who didn't believe in God or love the Lord, but he was going to go with tradition and give Esau the blessing. So we see that Jacob did in fact receive the blessing and was the one through whom the Lord truly started the nation of Israel. Of course, the beginning was with Abraham, then Isaac, but Jacob is the one called Israel. So looking at Jacob's life, going through the Bible, we see a number of things that go on. We see him living as an ordinary man, just like many of us today. When Esau heard that Jacob had taken his blessing, Esau began to soothe his feelings of anger by thinking of killing Jacob. Now, we don't know if he really would have tried, but at the time of his anger, he was definitely talking about doing so. So Rebekah tells Jacob to flee and to go to his relatives. And Jacob flees to Rebekah's brother Laban. Along the way, Jacob has a dream at Bethel. This is what some people refer to as Jacob's ladder, where he sees a stairway leading up to heaven and angels walking up and down this stairway. He thought to himself, surely the Lord is in this place. And he said to himself, how incredible, how awesome is this place. He believed that where he was none other than the house of God and the gate to heaven. He made a vow at that point, saying, if God is with me and will watch over me on this journey and give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that he returns safely to his father's house, then the Lord would be his God. Now, it's interesting, he sees this dream, but he still asks of the Lord that if you take care of me, then you'll be my God. It goes to show you that people, no matter how many things we see, no matter what we see, righteous things, incredible things, we still think about ourselves. We still think about our needs. So it's normal. Don't be upset. Don't be ashamed if you are in want, and call out to the Lord. You should. Jacob, even after seeing the images in this incredible dream, still called out to the Lord to protect him, to feed him, to clothe him, to take care of his physical needs. Now Jacob moves on from there and he arrives and he meets Rachel and he falls in love with Rachel. Rachel was the daughter of Laban, but so was Leah. Leah was the older one. So Jacob works for his uncle in exchange for the hand of Rachel in marriage. Well, after 7 years, Laban pulls a fast one. And on the wedding night, instead of Rachel, he gives Jacob Leah. What does Jacob do? Well, he says, I still want Rachel. So he says, I'll work another 7 years. You give me Rachel. In the meantime, of course, he wasn't in love with Leah. But the Lord was with her, and he opened up her womb. And she bore him children. Rachel was barren, and so she gives him her maidservant. And the maidservant has children. Then Leah stops having children, so she gives her maidservant. And he has children with her. So now, in a sense, he has four wives, when he really started off just to marry Rachel. Now, if you continue reading. It doesn't look like Laban was a very righteous man. When Jacob is ready to leave him, he says to Jacob, "Please stay, that I've learned by experience," using the King James word, "that the Lord has blessed me because of you." But if you look at other translations, NIV, English Standard, instead of the word experience, they use the word divination, which of course is the inquiry using demonic powers. It's what we talk about, witchcraft, things of that nature. Later, Jacob accuses him of changing his wages 10 times, and Jacob having to take all of the losses when the flocks were injured or torn apart by wild animals. But the Lord is with Jacob, and Jacob is shrewd, and he sets up ways for his flocks to increase more than his uncle's, and they do. As time goes on, though, his uncle and his uncle's sons become jealous because Jacob's flocks and herds are growing while the others are not. So Jacob, sensing this, decides it's time to leave, packs up all of his stuff, takes all of his wives and children and all of his servants, and sets out. Well, his uncle pursues them, and Jacob's frightened. He doesn't know what's going to go on. He hears that his uncle's coming after him. But when Laban actually catches up to Jacob, instead of trying to go up against Jacob and take what Jacob has, I believe he realizes that the Lord is with Jacob, and that probably wouldn't be a wise thing to do. Instead, they make a covenant between them, and Jacob is sent on his way. But as he moves closer, now he starts to think about Esau, his brother, whom he has taken both his birthright and his blessing. So he sends gifts out in front of him, flocks, herds, men and maidservants, to try to hopefully quell any anger that Esau has. But when Jacob finally meets Esau, Esau has been blessed by God. So he isn't angry because he realizes that the Lord has been with him as well as Jacob. But before Jacob meets Esau, the Lord said to Jacob, "Go up to Bethel and build an altar there to the Lord, who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau." That's all the way back about 20 years earlier, after he had received the blessing and he had left his father's house, his father Isaac. So Jacob tells his whole household, "Get rid of your foreign gods and purify yourself, and let's go up to Bethel." The night before Jacob met with Esau, he got up and took his two wives as his maidservants and his 11 sons at this time, and he sent them across the stream. He passed over the ford of Jabbok, and he was left alone. And at that time, a man came to him and wrestled with him till daybreak. And the Bible says when the man saw that he could not overpower Jacob, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that the hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go." But Jacob replied, "I won't let you go unless you bless me." The man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with the Lord and with men and have overcome." And the Lord told him that, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase. A nation will come from you, and kings will come from your body." The Lord said, "I will give you the land that I gave Abraham and Isaac, to you and your descendants." The Bible mentions a few more things, the death of Rachel and the death of Isaac. But as we see, Jacob, what appears in the beginning to be an unassuming man, a quiet man, becomes the father of the patriarchs, the nation of Israel. Once again, there is nothing remarkable overall of Jacob doing anything as far as the world's concerned, but it was his heart that was tested. It's not about the world. It's about the Lord looking upon you as someone who does his will. We'll continue on with the series, and I think you'll see as we travel through the Bible, you will see more and more people doing things that are not much different than what people do today. Don't fret. Don't worry. If your life seems unremarkable, if you really study the Bible, you really study the people of the Bible, that is really overall what most people's lives are like. Follow the Lord. Do what he asks. Do what he commands. Sometimes he asks you to do things. Sometimes he commands you to do things. Be obedient. And whatever you do, always follow him. And he will call you great. It's not up to the world to call you great. It's up to the Lord to do so.